Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. This is the program in which the worm turns and the public gets its revenge. Send us questions with the right answers. Four wise men guarantee to answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that finds them not wise enough. Each question accepted wins you $2. You can win, therefore, as much as $7 per question if you're lucky and Information Please is not. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Good evening, everybody. We have with us tonight four good men and true: Franklin P. Adams, columnist to the New York Post; John Kieran, sports expert extraordinary and amateur astronomer; Mark Duffield, day news editor of the New York Herald Tribune; and as our distinguished guest of honor, a gentleman who rivals Mr. Adams in his knowledge of Shakespeare and Mr. Kieran in his knowledge of sports, Mr. Gene Tunney. Mr. Tunney has done a great many things in his life, but I doubt whether he has ever been in the position in which he finds himself tonight. Good luck to you, Mr. Tunney. There's just a chance you'll need it. And now, gentlemen, the rules. I'll put the questions to the entire board. If you know the answer, raise your hand. A question composed of no more than two parts must be answered by one man. But if it has more parts than that, and many of them do, the board may cooperate. If any part is answered wrong, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is getting his $5. Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, we'd like you to remember that Information Please is a spontaneous and completely unrehearsed program. Anything may happen, and probably will. Here we go. The first question comes from Dr. Henry Sloan of Newcastle, Pennsylvania. He wants you to give five common expressions which use the names of nations or peoples. For example, we say to take French leave, don't we? The French, by the way, say to take English leave. Another example of the perennial friendship existing among the two people. Now, I'll ask you to name, give us five more like that. Mr. Duffield.
If we can't answer a question, we're in Dutch, huh?
Yes, that's very true. Oh, that was an answer. Yes, I get it. I get it. Very good. Pretty good. That's one. You don't have to stick to the Dutch if you don't wish. Let's have another. Mr. Kieran?
An Irish bull.
An Irish bull, perfectly all right. You want to explain that?
Why, yes. Why, are you asking for information and the man tells you that the first cow you meet on the hill is the bull? That would be an Irish bull.
Yes, very. That's two. Mr. Adams.
Welsh rabbit.
Welsh rabbit, very good. Perfectly all right. Why do they call it Welsh rabbit? Do you know, Mr. Adams?
No, I don't. I don't have to know.
Oh, no, you don't have to know. That's three. Mr. Duffield.
Swedish rub. Or massage.
Well, I wouldn't call that exactly a metaphorical expression. That is an actual kind of massage invented in Sweden, I suppose.
Probably because it warms you up in a cold country.
Well, that's very probably true. Very probably true. You're thinking fast tonight, Mr. Duffield. Mr. Kieran.
A Chinaman's chance.
A Chinaman's chance is very good. That's four. Let's have another one. How about when Greek meets Greek? They start a restaurant, for example. There's one. Let's have another.
Scotch marriage.
A Scotch... What is a Scotch marriage?
I don't know. A Scotch woodcock.
Scotch woodcock. Welsh rabbit and Scotch woodcock. Yes, well, that gives us five. I can think of many others, such as It's the Gypsy and Me. There's one.
Pixie.
Gypsy, Mr. Kieran. Or probably the most popular phrase of all involving the name of a nation, which is simply, make mine Scotch. All right, that's one. Two. This one from Mr. Leonard Halsey of Boston, Massachusetts. What recent news event is suggested by the following figures? One, 30 every Thursday. You have to get four out of five on this. 30 every Thursday, Mr. Tunney.
The man in California who won over Senator McAdoo.
Yes, how does the phrase 30 every Thursday come into the picture?
He promises them $30 every Thursday if he's elected. That is all people over 55.
Yes, that's the maid's day out, isn't it, Thursday?
Wednesday, the maid's day out.
Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Well, someone come along and offer them something Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, he's got to pay 60.
Got to pay $60. We got to be elected mayor of two states on that basis. That's correct. Now, let's have the second one, which is £10 million. £10 million. Mr. Duffield.
That's the amount that England is thinking of lending to Czechoslovakia.
To do what?
Oh, to sort of soothe their feelings for having given away the Sudetenland.
Yes, just a little tip. That's 10 million pounds. That's correct. 32 hours. 32 hours. Mr. Tunney, did...
That's the new demand of the auto workers in the strike in Detroit. They want a 32-hour week.
Yes, so Homer Martin made that offer to Henry Ford. That's quite correct. Four to zero. 4-0. 4-0. Mr. Kieran.
Score of the last World Series.
Thought you weren't going to get that, Mr. Kieran. And 5, 366-144. 366-144. I think we may get them on that. They're all right, though. They've got 4 out of 5. Anybody want to take a chance on that? I won't lower the figures, either. Don't bargain with me. 366 to 144, Mr. Duffield.
Well, now, supposing I make a guess that...
No doubt you will.
Hoping I guess right that it was the British parliamentary vote in favor of That's Chamberlain's right, yeah. Munich peace.
Absolutely correct. That's right. The next question from Elaine Harris of Chicago, Illinois, has to do with Shakespeare, Mr. Adams' favorite author. Answer the following questions with appropriate quotations from Shakespeare. 1. What would you say about a doctor who jokes about removing your appendix? Mr. Kieran.
The most unkindest cut of all.
Hey, very good. Think of another? That'll be perfectly good, Mr. Adams.
Out damned spot.
Yes, if you call an appendix a spot, I'd let it go. He jests at scars who never felt a wound would be, of course, the absolutely proper response, but not as funny as the others. 2. What would a young lady say who mistakenly pets a skunk? I mean a real skunk, an animal. What would a young lady say who mistakenly pets a skunk, Mr. Duffield?
A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Well, I don't think so. No, no. Don't think I'll let that one go. Mr. Kieran?
There's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
Yes, if that were a Danish skunk. Think of another one. Using the word Arabia. Lady Macbeth. Remember that? Anything that Lady Macbeth says? Or is it Lady Macbeth? All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. All right. I got that myself. Well, I think the contributions we've got will be satisfactory for that. Try the third one. What would a confirmed bachelor say to a friend about to wed? This isn't so easy. What would a confirmed bachelor say to a friend about to wed? That's not so easy. In fact, I don't think it's fair. Awful hard. The answer is, a young man married is a man that's marred. Famous line from All's Well That Ends Well. Any of you recollect that line? Mr. Duffy looks very intelligent about that.
I've heard it.
Do you remember it, Mr. Tunney?
No.
Well, I may be wrong then. Maybe Shakespeare didn't write it. I think he did. That's one wrong. Here's one really up your alley, Mr. Tunney. What would you say when a prize fighter socks his opponent on the button? Give a line from Shakespeare which would be appropriate under those circumstances. Mr. Kieran.
Oh, what a fall was there, my countrymen.
Hey, very good. Very good. Think of any others. Think of any others.
'Tis bitter cold and I am sick at heart.
Oh, go on. Mr. Adams, you're just trying to put something over on me. Well, we got 3 out of 4, which is all we were asked for on that. The next. From John Cecil Holm of the Players Club, New York. Mr. Holm is the co-author of 3 Men on a Horse. And his question has nothing whatsoever to do with horses, I don't think. If you are listening to your radio and you heard the announcer say the following things, not all on the same day, of course, to what different sporting events would he be referring? Now, we have to get all of these. Suppose he said the time for that event was 10 2/5 seconds. What sporting event? Mr. Tunney.
He could talk
remember,
about...
10 2/5.
He could talk about a 100-yard dash.
That's correct.
It'd be a pretty slow 100-yard dash.
Oh, fast for you and me.
100-meter would be better.
100-meter would be better?
Yes.
We'll correct it now. Next edition. 2. He made a stab at it. Suppose he said he made a stab at it. I think that might go for a number of games, but one in particular. Mr. Kieran, what would you say?
Well, I'd say baseball.
I'd say baseball, too. Let's both say baseball. Right. Baseball. Right. Three. They are running shoulder to shoulder. They are running shoulder to shoulder. Mr. Tunney?
A horse race.
There is where you're wrong. I don't think they say of horses that they're running shoulder to shoulder. Or do they? Oh. Mr. Kieran, what would you say?
Well, I would say they would say that. They wouldn't say withers to withers, would they?
No, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they say neck and neck, though?
Yes.
Perhaps?
Yeah, shoulder
to shoulder. Don't think you ordinarily of horses you say shoulder to shoulder. Well, I may be mistaken.
Running shoulder to shoulder.
It's a long time
since relay racing or any sort of track.
Could be dog racing.
Any foot race between two and a dog racing might be, yes. Four, the ball is being brought into play there. The ball is being... Mr. Tunney?
Football.
Quite correct. Five, I take it easy on this. Both men are slugging away at each other. Their teammates are hurrying over. They are sliding. Got to get this one, or Mr. Holmes gets $5. I'll count up to five. One, two, five. The answer is ice hockey. Ice hockey, and that's going to cost us $5.
How come?
Don't like that, Mr. Kieran?
No.
Both men are slugging away at each other. Their teammates are hurrying over.
They
are
slugging away at each other. What do you mean by that? Fighting?
Don't they slug in ice hockey?
Not under the rules.
Who said they were playing according to the rules? In this
but
question.
If they're sliding, it'll be very hard to slug because they're probably trying to stay off the ground.
Well, very hard to slide on skates, too.
Ice hockey is the answer, unless we get calls from the outside saying
I don't
no.
like it. I resent that.
Well, if you want to resign, this is your chance. The next question from Miss Isabel F. Meyer of Saugerties, New York. If you met the following characters in a literary work, where would each be going? If you met the following characters in a literary work, where would each be going? One. Sheridan. Four out of five on this. Mr. Adams.
Yeah. Winchester.
Winchester is correct. What poem?
Sheridan's Ride.
Sheridan's Ride. Do you remember the author of the poem? This isn't obligatory.
T. Buchanan Reed.
That's correct. Two. Rosalind. If you met Rosalind, where would she be going? Rosalind? Mr. Kieran?
The Forest of Arden.
To the Forest of Arden. From what play?
As You Like It.
Thank you. Three. The White Rabbit. The White Rabbit. Don't forget to raise hands, gentlemen. The White Rabbit. Mr. Kieran?
The White Rabbit was going somewhere in a hurry. He kept pulling his watch out of his pocket. I see he was going to a tea party, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Whose?
The Red Who's, Queen's?
Yeah, to the Queen's Garden Party, and in
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland. Very good. That's three out of three so far. Four, if you met the highwayman, where would the highwayman be going? Mr. Kieran again.
He was going to see the landlord's black-haired daughter.
Yes, but where would he be going? Not for what purpose?
The highwayman was riding.
That's enough. Riding.
Right.
Yeah, but where was he going? Where did the black-haired daughter hang out, so to speak?
In her father's inn.
In her father's inn. Well, that's all I was trying to get from you. It's simple as can be. All right, suppose you met the man with seven wives. Mr. Adams.
St. Ives.
Wait a minute. Where would each be going? He would be going. The man with seven wives would be going where? To St. Ives?
No, as I was going to St.
Ives. Ah, yes, that's right.
Where would the man with seven wives be going, then? Well, he'd be going away from St. Ives. That's perfectly clear. Away from St. Ives. We got four out of five on that. All right. The next question from Mr. James Howell of Butte, Montana. Oh, this is a dandy. I have to listen to this again. All right. I'm asking you gentlemen to sing a line. Oh, Mr. Kieran loves this one. Sing a line from a song mentioning the following people. Johnny, Noah, Lena, Augustine, and McDonald. Not the same song, of course. Five different songs. You have to get every one of these. First one, Johnny. Mr. Kieran.
Johnny, get your gun.
That's enough. Very good.
That's too much.
Two, Noah. Noah, N-O-A-H, Noah. Mr. Adams, sing
old
it.
Old man, I don't know the tune of it. Old man Noah, he knew a thing or two.
That's right. Old man, Noah knew a thing or two. We made him all play ball. Old man, Noah knew a thing or two.
That'll do.
All right. That's right, three, Lena. Lena, L-E-N-A. Lena, a line from a song involving Lena. Think back on this one. Goes back several years, I think. How about it, Mr. Kieran?
Duffield? Right. Sonny, Mr. Adams.
I don't know the tune to that, but it's, Lena, Lena, play once again on your concertina.
Yes, that's right. Is that the one about Lena from Palestina?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I think that is a line from a poem, from a song that'll do. Where's your sense of melody this evening? Now, usually you sing better than that, Mr. Adams.
I know when I've met my master.
Thanks so much. All right, try Augustine. Augustine, Mr. Tunney.
Alva Liba Augustine, Augustine. It's a baby song.
Well, no, it's fairly grown up. You've got the line, all right. Well, when you were doing what you did, were you singing?
yes, the kind of singing I do.
Well, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. You have one note there that's very well done. Now, five, McDonald. McDonald, Mr. Kieran.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Pretty good. All right, five out of five. Can't seem to get them down tonight. The next one from Mr. T. Duane of Brooklyn, New York. Name four female characters in Shakespeare's plays who disguise themselves as men. You have to name four. Mr. Tunney? All right, take it easy.
Portia.
Yes, Portia. In the play?
The Merchant of Venice.
Quite correct. That's one. Do you have another one, Tunney, or do you want to cede your place, Mr.?
Yes,
all right, Tunney.
Rosamund in As You Like It.
Quite correct. Rosamund in As You Like It. Very good. You're going fine, Mr. Tunney. Want to let us have two more women disguised as men? Volunteers from the rest of the experts. Mr. Kieran, do you have another one?
He took Rosalind right out of my arms.
Mr. Tunney, you give Rosalind back to Mr. Kieran. Mr. Kieran.
Viola in Twelfth Night.
Viola in Twelfth Night. And I'm glad you've got someone in your arms. Now, Mr. Adams, you have one. Viola's a cutie, too. I remember her. Mr. Adams, do you have one? That's
no.
Three. Mr. Tunney, you can save us all by remembering Portia's sidekick. Do you remember? In the play?
Oh, yes. The wife of... she was the wife of...
Knows all about
no,
the
she wasn't.
No,
she wasn't. Portia was the wife of...
Nerissa, that's right. Nerissa, Portia and Nerissa. That gives us four. Then there was Julia in Two Gentlemen of Verona and Imogen in Cymbeline. But we've got four female characters who disguise themselves as men. The next question from Buffalo, New York, from Mr. Henry H. Hutchinson. You're asked to identify the following persons from their nicknames. Have to get all on these. Five out of five. One, Old Gimlet Eye. Old Gimlet Eye. Mr. Tunney.
Yes, that's Old Gimlet Eye. They call General Butler of the Marine Corps
that's
Old Gimlet
Eye.
That's
quite correct. Smedley Butler, the ex-general of the Marines. Very good. Two, the Cincinnatus of the West. The Cincinnatus of the West. This goes rather far back in our American history. Mr. Adams?
Joaquin Miller.
No. I know whom you mean, but I don't think they called him the Cincinnatus of the West. Subject to correction. You may be right. The answer is awfully simple.
Ought to be General Grant.
No, maybe it ought to be, but it isn't. Don't impose your ideas on us, Mr. Duffield. Now, the answer is... Mr. Tunney, do you have it?
No,
the answer is George Washington. That gives us one wrong. Three, George Washington, the Cincinnatus of the West. Three, public clothes horse number one. Public clothes horse number one.
Some general on horseback.
you're pretty warm, Mr. Tunney. You're pretty warm. You've got to name the general, though. Yeah. You've got to be very specific in naming the general. Ha, that's a dandy. Mr. Duffield.
Colonel General Wilhelm Goering.
Yes, General Goering. Clothes, public clothes horse number one, a free ad for General Goering. Four, the widow at Windsor. The widow at Windsor, Mr. Kieran.
The late Queen Victoria.
Yes, who named her that?
Kipling.
And what happened to him as a result?
He never got knighted.
He lost the laureateship. And the morgue. The morgue. The morgue. M-O-R-G-U-E. The morgue. Mr. Adams?
As a nickname of a
yes.
person?
Oh, no, a place.
No, I know it's a place.
Yes, he says as a person. place
where they keep newspaper clippings in an office.
Yeah, I don't mean... I mean a person.
Oh.
I mean a person. Oh. See if we can get this and save our reputation, as it were.
I don't know. Secretary of the Treasury.
Yes, Henry Morgenthau, Jr. Call the Morgan.
Oh, that's correct.
Goodness. Well, that's going to cost us $5. And so far, we have lost $10. Yes, $10 is correct. Now, the next question. Oh, this is a dandy. We've made this question up out of two questions submitted by Mrs. G.H. Wintermute of Washington, D.C., and G. Kennison of Newtonville, Massachusetts. Mr. Milton Cross, the invaluable Mr. Cross, is going to sing, as he says, bits from songs of Gilbert and Sullivan operettas. And we want you to tell what operetta each was taken from. Now, Mr. Cross, are you ready for the first bit of singing?
When the enterprising burglar's not a burgling, not a burgling. When the cutthroat isn't occupied in crime, pied in crime. He loves to hear the little brook a-gurgling, brook a-gurgling, and listen to the merry village chime.
Mr. Adams, I guess you know that one. What's it from?
Pirates of Penzance.
That's right. Who sings the song?
The Sergeant of Police.
That's right, the Sergeant of Police. Very good. Mr. Cross, do you think your voice will hold out for a couple more?
If it doesn't, I'll call on you after.
No, sir. I'd rather go on to the next question in that case. All right, let's have the second.
Fading is the taper waist, shapeless grows the shapely limb, and although severely laced, spreading is the figure trim.
Very good. Mr. Adams, you had your hand up on that one, too.
Patience.
Patience. Who sings that?
Bass fiddle.
Lady Jane. Lady Jane? Lady Jane. That's what I have down here. All right, let's have the third one, Mr. Cross. Gee, Mr. Adams knows this stuff.
I often think in comical, fa-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la, how nature always does contrive, fa-la-la-la-la, that every boy and every girl that's born into the world alive is either a little liberal or else a little conservative.
Thank you. Mr. Adams, you knew the answer on that one?
Sergeant Willis in Iolanthe.
Yes, he was a private, though. Don't promote him. Iolanthe is correct. 3 out of 4 for Mr. Adams. Must have spent his entire youth listening to Gilbert and Sullivan. Did you, Mr. Adams?
Last night.
let's have the fourth and last.
In enterprise of martial kind, when there was any fighting, he led his regiment from behind. He found it less exciting. But when away his regiment ran, his place was at the fore. Oh, that celebrated, cultivated, underrated nobleman, the Duke of Plaza Toro.
Very good. Mr. Adams?
The Gondolier.
Oh, I guess we can't catch him. 4 out of 4. And Mr. Adams establishes himself as Gilbert and Sullivan expert number one. The next question from Miss Lenore K. Snodgrass. Thank you very much, Mr. Cross. From Duluth, Minnesota. Give 5 books whose titles include the name of a piece of furniture or house furnishings. For example, Wife versus Secretary. get the idea? I'll repeat it in Latin for you, Mr. Kieran, if you wish. 5 books whose titles include the name of a piece of furniture or house furnishing. You know, think of tables, chairs, andirons, curtains. Mr. Adams.
The Great Gatsby.
The Great Gatsby. Oh, great. I get it. Great, yeah. You ought to be fired for that one, Mr. Adams. All right, that'll do. We have to accept those things from Mr. Adams. Let's have another. I'll give you one to start you off. The Autocrat of the Breakfast Table by Oliver Wendell Holmes would be one. But I said that. You didn't say that, gentlemen. Mr. Adams.
The Professor at the Breakfast Table.
Oh, my. I think that's unfair. Have to accept it. No sense of ethics, Mr. Adams. No sense of ethics. 2. We have to get 3 more. Think about your houses. Think about your furniture. Mr. Adams.
The House of Seven Gables.
The House of Seven Gables will not do. It's not a piece of furniture. I mean, an indoor gable I have never seen. No, I don't. Make it House of Seven Tables, and I'll let it go. Three more. See, we're going to stump them on this one. Pictures, beds, curtains, screens.
The Portrait of Dorian Gray.
Very good. Yes, yes, that'll do. Portrait of Dorian Gray. Very good, by Oscar Wilde. It's excellent, Mr. Tunney. Score for Mr. Tunney on that. That's three. Can't give you very much more time. Gentlemen, we want to get on to the next question. Miss Snodgrass is waiting for her $5. Mr. Adams.
Fun in Bed.
Fun in Bed? Yes. That's the name of a book of entertainment. Quite right. Fun in Bed, that's four. I'll now count up to my usual five. One, two, Mr. Duffield.
Parlor, bedroom, and bath.
All right, I'll let that go. Just saved by the skin of your teeth. Parlor, bedroom, and bath. No, I won't let that go. Because bath there is a room. It's not a piece of furniture.
No? Twin beds.
Twin beds is all right, Mr. Tunney. Thank you very much. That's five out of five. The next question from Ruth Hayes of Cincinnati. You're asked to explain the following terms which are current in international news. Four of them. Enclave or enclave. I don't know quite how that's pronounced. E-N-C-L-A-V-E.
Would you please repeat the question?
Yes. Explain the following terms which are current in international news. Enclave. Have to ask for a pretty precise definition on that. All right, it's a group of one nationality living within another nation and surrounded by that other nationality. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to cost us $5. We're going to have to get four out of four on this. So let's have Real Politik now. R-E-A-L-P-O-L-I-T-I-K, Mr. Duffield.
That is a German expression meaning that they are practical politicians rather than idealists.
Yes. Do you know where the phrase, it's a group of one nationality living within another nation and surrounded by that other nationality. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to cost us $5. We're going to have to get four to four on this. So let's have Realpolitik now. R-E-A-L-P-O-L-I-T-I-K, Mr. Duffield.
That is a German expression meaning that they are practical politicians rather than idealists.
Yes. Do you know where the phrase, it's a group of one nationality living within another nation.
Dives. Same.
And surrounded by that other nationality. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to have Realpolitik now. R-E-A-L-P-O-L-I-T-I-K, Mr. Duffield.
That is a German expression meaning that they are practical politicians.
Where would each be going?
Rather than idealists.
Yes. Do you know where the phrase, it's a group of one nationality living within another nation.
Dives. Sanctioned.
And surrounded.
Dives.
By that other nationality. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to have Realpolitik now. R-E-A-L. P-O-L-I-T-I-K, Mr. Duffield.
That is a German expression meaning that they are practical politicians.
Where would each be going?
Rather than idealists.
Wait a minute. Yes. And surround. Do you know where the phrase, it's a group of one nationality living within another nation.
Dives. Dives.
Surrounded by that other nationality. Well, that, I'm afraid, is going to have Realpolitik now. R-E-A-L. Honestly, cannot tell you, ladies and gentlemen, but if anybody can make Harpo Marx open up and tell all, it's information, please, next week. Now, Mr. Cross, will you take the mic and remind our audience of the rules once more? Information, please, thanks you and asks you to come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another Battle of the Public versus the Experts. Please send us questions, any number of them, with the correct answers. And don't get worried if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. Remember, $2 per question if we use it, and an additional 5 spot if the board flops on it. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Send them to Information, Please, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York. Until next Tuesday evening at 8:30, good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.